hours, and all I'd feel was several hours older. Lilacs or lilies, any bloom you please, all that they did was make me shrug or sneeze. But now I love each blossom that I see, for a lovely little rose loves me. Now my life is rosy, since I found my Rosie, with a girl like Rosie, how could I be blue? Hand in hand we'll mosey, me and little Rosie. We will be so cozy by a fire built for two. Oh, I once heard a poem that goes, a rose is a rose is a rose. Well, I don't agree, take it from me, there's one rose sweeter than any that grows, and that's my Rosie. I'm so glad she chose me. Life is one sweet, beautiful song to me. Now my life is rosy.
All will be happy, I know.
Since I found my Rosie.
Off to the preacher we'll go.
With a girl like Rosie.
So how could we be blue? Oh, we'll have us a home out west. A nice little split level nest. And in every room, roses in bloom.
But there's one rose sweeter than all of the rest, and that's my Rosie.
I'm so glad you chose me. Life is one sweet, beautiful song. When love is right, then what can be wrong? Life is one sweet, beautiful song to me.
And thank you, Joe, for another wonderful big band Broadway and Beyond show. This is WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford Community College, WHFR.FM, the station making waves. It's now time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Yes, on that note, we're going to begin the new WHFR Journal. This is alternative news and views from Dearborn. Well, it's basically news and alternative views. Let's get that straight. We try to follow the highlights of the day from whatever sources we can find each week here from 1 to 2 p.m. And today is July 22nd, and that is 2011. I heard some music in the background.
We're jumping ahead to 2 o'clock already.
Right. We just can't wait till Highway 61 begins at 2 o'clock with its wonderful blues shows. But here we are with local news and views. Dennis Reimars, our WHFR news director, is with me today. What's happening for you, Dennis?
Nothing. I went out to the farm market this morning, and mm-hmm. I attempted to do my report, and I got through the station, and then nothing. I got through to Joe, and he couldn't hear me.
Oh,
I could hear him beautifully, so he said, well, I'm sure we'll reconnect, and I tried to reconnect, and I couldn't. So I'd like to take the next 4 seconds.
Yes. Tell us what was there, though they're already closed today. But people will get a chance to go back there Tuesday night. It's this very big breaking news. Go ahead, though.
Well, no. I mean, the Henry Ford, the Skylight Cafe was out there, and they were making smoothies, mango smoothies. Mm-hmm. And that was, I don't know, you were out there. It was 95 degrees when I was there around 11 a.m., and wow. So that smoothie was very welcome. Anyway, a lot of people were out there.
Those media credentials really get you the perks, huh?
Yeah, I wish. Everybody
they gave them to everybody,
I know. Yes, they did. It was wonderful. How was your morning?
Well, just fantastic preparing for the show here, and I know we have many regular listeners, and I'm sure most of them know that, first of all, in terms of the farm market, I saw the story first on DearbornPatch.com.
We're hearing that a lot, that name lately.
Although it's been in both of the papers, although the Times and Herald from last Wednesday, and this is about the fact that the Dearborn Farm Market will have 2 days a week that it will be open. It'll be open Tuesday evenings, but only for 3 hours from 5 to 8 p.m.
Right.
Maybe different vendors, maybe a lot of the same, perhaps, don't know, haven't been there yet. So it starts next Tuesday, the 26th. The Times Herald newspaper story seemed to indicate, even though they didn't say one time only, they just said it's going to be open from 5 to 8 on the 26th.
Okay.
But in fact, the Press and Guide story and DearbornPatch.com, which came out first, got it right. It's every Tuesday from now on, I assume until the end of October. Neither one of them said when it's going to end.
Right.
But probably till the end of October, like the Friday sessions, right, which are 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this is in West Dearborn, folks, if you haven't been to this wonderful sort of city-organized but volunteer-supported organization under the direction of Joan Reed, the market manager.
Just wonderful lady, yes.
Right, that has been working on this now for the last 4 years in order to keep things straight and to expand, because a lot of people probably say, well, Friday mornings, I'm still in work. I can't shop there. I'd love to if there were some evening hours. So pretty hard to extend the vendor time on Friday because they're pretty exhausted probably from 8 a.m. to 1 o'clock, and they come great distance. So they
plus
came
they
up
sell
with
most of their stuff in that period. You know, they'd have to bring a lot more.
Right. So they're starting on Tuesday, and I assume it's going to continue through October, 5 to 8 p.m., Bryant Public Library, half of that parking lot right next to Bryant.
And I would think in the summer, in the evening, it's a little bit cooler, so we won't be dealing with... I was really hot there today. And the people were out there buying stuff and drinking smoothies, so I give them credit. You know?
Well, they have a lot of positive comments about that operation, and I think Tuesday should be successful, too. Again, at patch.com, where you can read actual responses from the people that read the comment there. And again, it's like many websites where there's a story posted and you can post your own comment as to what you think about it. And a lot of them have said that, even though there may not be quite as many vendors as some other nearby farm markets, it may be more convenient for them, or they're unique vendors that they see there. And they love going there, and they love the artisans. One guy was going crazy about the woodworking. the artists that produce wood benches and decorative things for your yard and your home and so on. Of course, the food. And you had a smoothie, but we often forget to say that other than just the sampling sometimes of great restaurants in the local area that goes on, usually feature one per week, there's also, of course, the food vendors. And, it's... hot dogs and hamburgers, I think, at that stand. But they also sometimes have nachos, and apparently, I remember there's one, like a frozen vendor there, too. And is that where you had the smoothie?
He thawed out. there was a vendor with ice cream and frozen goods. Well, the smoothie was different. That was from Henry Ford.
Oh, well, all right.
But yeah, it was awesome.
So is that the special... attraction today?
It was.
Henry Ford Community College. Culinary arts people.
The Skylight.
The Skylight Cafe.
So they had some culinary, I'm sure, make it there. But the point is that we are one of the sponsors of this wonderful event. Yeah. I'm sure that'll carry over to the Tuesday thing, too. We'll help sponsor that, I'm sure, as well as Oakwood Hospital and the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we don't know.
Well, we don't know about the co-sponsorship on Tuesday. I assume they have some sponsors because there's always cost involved. And maybe the sponsorship from the Fridays is enough to carry them over. Maybe their budget is just adequate enough. And maybe, we have not heard here at HFCC that they're going to have their usual booth and table on Tuesday. That would require a doubling of effort from our own people. So,
right.
And I don't know anything about Oakwood Hospital's presence either. But it's just good that somehow it's been worked out. And, of course, if HFCC is a sponsor for that, fine. As long as we're plugging HFCC, and they don't ask us to, folks.
That's
they
right.
don't ask us to, even
we
though
want to.
We're in their buildings and thankful for their air conditioning and their electricity and so on.
Very thankful.
But they're sponsoring Wi-Fi in the food court at Fairlane Town Center.
Really?
Yeah. Fairlane Town Center did not have a free available Wi-Fi.
Interesting.
And I was just over there doing my exercise, which is brisk walking, which you don't want to do on a 100-degree day outside, and because they do have air conditioning at Fairlane Town Center. By God, I saw a lot of senior mall walkers over there, let me tell you, and that's the right thing to do, in fact. And what's even more interesting is the signs in the food court area say, free Wi-Fi provided by Henry Ford Community College.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And in fact, it's a better connection than Wi-Fi on campus here, because on campus, you have to be a student, you have to use a password, and a lot of certain downloads don't work because they don't want...
Content management.
Well, legally, they can't provide a service that is very easy to download illegal whatever files.
Pirated stuff, sure.
Yeah, and if they had unlimited bandwidth here... Or they weren't being watched by, you know, various authorities. But so over there, it's just to the community, and it's. I tried it on my my smartphone, my iPhone, and everything was just easily connected. It was wonderful.
Good.
So I think that's they probably needed that. I'm surprised that Fairlane Town Center wouldn't want to do that out of their own budget or with a small donation from the food vendors in that area, because West Dearborn has free Wi-Fi provided by all the food vendors over there.
Right.
So you can go to any of the vendors on Michigan Avenue and get free Wi-Fi. Of course, places like Panera, Starbucks typically have their own anyway, but all of the West Dearborn shopping district has free Wi-Fi.
And that's
Wi-Fi.
Because of the commission, or the, what is it called? The authority on for West Dearborn Authority.
Well, that's just the organization of those West Dearborn businesses. Yeah, it's
yeah.
a WDDA.
That's what it is.
West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. Just sort of the you might say the Rotary group, without being Rotary, for the West Dearborn area. Now they have received in the past some special funding from the grants from the federal government to assist that, and it's probably continuing too. But no, at Henry Ford Community College, they're providing the free Wi-Fi at Fairlane Town Court. So Town Hall Center at their food court. Well, I want to go back to DearbornPatch.com. We are going to try to get, and maybe she's listening, Jessica Carreras. We're hunting for you.
that sounds so ominous.
Okay.
We welcome you. We would like to
talk. She looks like
the
editor of DearbornPatch.com, even though stories are posted there from other folks, too. But, boy, they're covering the events in Dearborn, cultural as well as government and education events, pretty much as they happen. They have a reporter there. Now, I hope they're being paid well for that. Probably not. But Patch.com apparently is a national sort of news service, and they are constantly looking to expand with more reporters in more cities. And so you can go to Patch.com, you click on Michigan, then you can click on Dearborn, and then you can just earmark the Dearborn, because it's dearborn.patch.com. Pretty simple, right? So
Very
it's
simple.
A city, but there's more than one Dearborn in the U.S. We must have been the first one to register, because the city of Dearborn, in fact, many cities, are in many different states by the same name.
Right. There's a Michigan City, Indiana, I think.
Right. So maybe eventually it'll have to be dearborn.mi.patch, but right now it's Dearborn. We got the first registration there. And Jennifer Carrera seems to be the editor in charge of the dearborn.com patch website. And here's two stories that have not appeared in the press and guide yet. And, well, for example, even today, patch.com indicated that there was an Aunt Knees a vendor new at the Dearborn Farm Market, and apparently it's like sauces. It's a local producer of, probably in jars, salsa and other kinds of sauces for cooking and mixing with different food. Well, new vendor picture, background, right there on patch.com.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's not hard news as far as I'm concerned, but it's still something that is different there. But here's the two stories that have scooped the Press and Guide and the Times Herald. And the biggest one, I'll start with that one, is the report on the first master plan meeting, which was Tuesday night here. Now, it's Dearborn, City of Dearborn. They've paid consultants to set up and organize a several sessions. I think there's four sessions, or is it five? And the first one, which is sort of a general introductory session, was held this last Tuesday night. And apparently, since the story was written by Jessica Carreras, she was there. And here's the story from Patch.com. What will Dearborn's future look like? Many of the decisions concerning the city's direction in the coming decades will be centered on Dearborn's master plan. First developed in 1962, the master plan has gone through several major overhauls as well as smaller tweaks every 5 years. Current community workshops and discussions, like the first held on Tuesday night, that's this week, folks, that's the 19th of July, at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, will result in another major redo of the master plan by the end of 2011. Some of the questions, though, that they're discussing, four of them anyway, will be advisory questions on the November election ballot. And so a little bit redundant there, but mm-hmm. I think, maybe some of the people that don't get to these sessions, and it's only people in the know. I mean, how many people knew the master plan was happening? The story was buried, I think, at the back of the Press and Guide. I don't think it made it into the Times Herald. I could be wrong, but it was not on the front page. And so are you going to cityofdearborn.org website, the city website? Are you getting emails directly from public information? I'm not sure they'll send them to everybody. I mean, as part of the media, I got that email from Mary Landrosh over there about it. But there's a picture. Jennifer Carreras even took a picture from Patch.com. It looks like a group of no more than 30 people. And that, I'm exaggerating here, perhaps, unless there's people that are not in range outside of the frame of the picture that I can't see. So it was a small group of people really in the know and really connected, so good for them as active citizens. But we do have almost 100,000 people in mm-hmm. Dearborn. Okay, some kids. But in terms of adults, maybe, 60,000 adults? Mm-hmm. And not everybody has the time or the desire to be part of the planners of Dearborn's future, but here's what happened anyway. Amy Chestnut, she was the senior principal planner of the McKenna Associates, that's the company the city's paying to facilitate this, explained that the success of the plan is the people who prepared it. So I hope some really good people were there. I don't know who they were, but anyway, it looks toward not just housing and homes and business, but it's a more holistic approach to the types of development that will occur within the city. So they come up with major categories, apparently. They broke off into four different work groups. In fact, there was more than just one picture. In fact, there was pictures of the different groups. Mayor O'Reilly spoke there briefly to kick things off. I know I saw a picture of him also on Patch.com. And but you should know, folks, if you're listening to this show and you can't attend this group or any of the other upcoming meetings, which the upcoming ones are broken down by recommending that people in different parts of the city geographically come to those. So what are the concerns of people on the east side of town and the west side of town and some two other designations? I can't remember what they are. So check the cityofdearborn.org to see which ones you might want to attend, but the general one is done. But the online survey is at cityofdearborn.org. You have to hunt a little bit, of course, for it. But it is the master plan survey. And they say 300 people have already taken the poll. I was one of them, proudly, yes. So Dearborn, you're a Dearborn resident, of course.
I sure am.
Have you taken the survey yet?
You know I will now.
Okay. He's promising, folks.
I promise.
Okay, let's put our input in there, everybody, okay? If you can't attend the meetings, take the survey. I think I said last week, we mentioned the survey. It's interesting to me that they touched on opinions about the Dearborn schools. And as I said, it's okay for the city to take and find out those opinions. But the city has no way to influence the Dearborn schools whatsoever.
Right.
Budget, management, anything. Now, sometimes it's rare. They might negotiate on some land use, or the city might rezone something if the schools need like more of a parking lot or something. So there have been little cooperative ventures, but that's not required. They are completely separate legal entities. And so it's interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with the public's opinions about the schools, except maybe just pass them along to the Joran Public Schools, right, saying this is what our survey showed. You're in trouble. Everybody hates your schools, or whatever. Whatever the answer is going to be, I don't think it'll be totally, you know, negative. But I have to admit, and I have to admit that we're looking for a good elementary school in 2 years for my granddaughter. And we're not just, I mean, it's up to my daughter. She's the mother, of course, to make that final decision. But she's looking at charter schools.
Okay.
You know, I mean, she went to Dearborn Public School. She wasn't happy with them when she went through, and she graduated in the 90s. And what's the situation today? Well, she's a public school teacher. She knows how the programs have been cut in Southfield Public Schools, and Dearborn is not quite suffering as much as they are in Southfield. So she's got all options open. Now, I think that's pathetic. It should be a slam dunk that your public schools would have the best education for all the kids of Dearborn, and today that's just not an easy call.
So you are, you know, it wasn't that long ago, maybe a year ago, you were not really in favor of charter schools. And I think that the information that we had, I think that they weren't as, the quality wasn't there.
The majority of them can't outdo the test results. That's not everything, test right. results, but the test results of the public schools. Now, that was something I might have quoted in Detroit.
I think it was Detroit, you're
for
right.
For Detroit, mm-hmm. the charter schools, only 7 out of the 20-some charter school, which are an option for the residents there, are doing better in their test results.
That's right.
Now, again, as I understand it, charter schools don't cost you anymore.
No.
I mean, they're paid, so it's just an option for the public to send their kids to these specialized schools that are organized and approach the goals in different ways.
Right.
There are, of course, private schools, too, that couldn't cost a fortune, like Montessori.
Oh, wow.
And we did send my daughter for 4 years to Montessori in elementary school. I thought it was a fantastic program. I loved the philosophy. I loved the schools, and I visited them, and it was worth the extra money, I thought, at that time. Now, Dearborn has had Montessori options, but they were, a year ago, saying they're going to cut them out, because they can't right. have the extra teachers and the extra funding. They don't have the money for that. To my knowledge, they have not eliminated Montessori instruction, at least for a few of the lower grades.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes. So anyway, on the master plan commentary, again, these are people, this was posted first thing Wednesday morning this week, just the morning after, and it's 7:30 a.m. Wednesday morning. A comment already came in, the first one, what a waste of money about the master plan, says right. this one person. You know, there's always with comments a wide variety of opinions. Some people love it, love it, love it, no matter what it is. I mean, I've read, you know, comments of Jack Lessenberry's opinions at the Metro Times, and he is pretty far out there usually. Some people love him, and other people, of course, the majority of them just can't stand him, and they rail, and they, well, anyway. But this person said, what a waste of time, what a waste of taxpayers' time. This is so laughable, except we're drowning in debt. No money for libraries, pools, and parks, but more cash for third-party consultants to peddle more BS. Well, it's another way of getting input from the community. I think this only cost, I thought I saw somewhere, $7,300 for the whole 4 sessions.
Okay.
And for professional management with their, you know, scientific polling techniques and so on,
right.
that's fairly reasonable. I mean, even for the mayor to send out a newsletter or to pay Mary Landrush to do the email, you know, that costs the city money too. Don't the public want to have that opportunity if they're available?
Right.
I think the people that attended thought it was probably worthwhile, and they appreciated getting their feedback. What I don't like, and I've participated in many focus groups, not just city, but for Ford Motor Company and others across the year, through the years, is they don't necessarily use your opinions
right.
when it's done. And what I mean by that, and I'm not saying this report won't,
right.
but they're actually trying to get you to think better of the company, like Ford Motor Company. This is my assessment. I can't go into detail, but I was at a customer focus group that went on for a whole day
wow.
at a Ford Motor Company facility in the days when they had the money to do this,
yeah.
along with a couple hundred others. And to my knowledge, all of our little buzzers and response mechanisms weren't connected to anything. What they wanted you to do was to feel good about Ford Motor Company. And they also paid us $200.
And they gave you lunch.
Individually and gave us lunch.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
And gave us special tours. And so, you know, we were all current owners at that time as an owner of a Ford Motor Company product.
Right.
And we just felt, oh, they really appreciate us as customers.
They kind of wasted their money on you.
I do not, yeah. I didn't see the computer where all my electronic buzzer pushing was connected. And I really, there's, and again, I'm pretty sophisticated in terms of this kind of polling. I don't think it was all about that at all. I think it was just to make us feel good. And maybe because what they did in this was they pulled in a number of non-PR related Ford employees, like mm-hmm. from accounting office and
sure.
so on. Okay, they gave them a day off from work. But they were part of the focus groups and relating to us too. I think it made them, they don't often get a chance to talk directly to customers. It made them feel better about Ford.
So they weren't like raiders so actually, that were trying to sway Europe.
But I think they were invited to bond them more with Ford Motor Company.
Huh.
That's what I think.
I wonder how that worked out for them.
Because normally they're buried in an office in the Ford Motor Building or something, and they never see the public, and maybe they don't care about. Maybe if they're bonding more with Ford, maybe they'll buy a Ford too.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think it was both internal and external PR, and I think heck with opinions.
Two years ago, they lost their jobs, and you bought a BMW. So
yeah, well, that didn't work out if that was the sole purpose. No,
that's horrible.
To be honest, I gave them feedback about what I wanted in my next car. They didn't have that car ready for me.
Right. I mean, it'll be ready soon, but it wasn't ready when you were ready. I get you.
No, I don't think it's going to be ready. You mean electric and that? No. This was before electric cars were even a thought. No, it's just I wanted smaller cars. Yeah. I wanted better performance. I wanted better braking. I wanted better gas economy. And
Sound like your standards were really, I mean, you weren't being unreasonable.
Well, I don't think most people would ask for what I ask for because I'm one of those automotive
right.
geeks, you know, that really know a lot and read a lot and study a lot about cars. And most people don't have time enough or interest enough to do that. But still, as I said, I gave my opinion and I thought I was like one of 200 and apparently didn't mean anything, or they thought they couldn't make enough money on me nationally, that my type of person nationally wouldn't give them enough profit
right.
margin.
You were pretty specific.
They made a business decision probably, and I made a business decision to get the car I wanted, but it had to be from somewhere else. And even with that electric car thing, you know, I almost bought a Leaf, which was the first electric car. That's what I wanted. It wasn't available here at that time. I'm not sure it even is now, but the Ford electric Focus should be available by December.
Right. you never liked the Volt, did
you? Hopefully here. Well, the Volt is a sort of crippled hybrid, and it's about $10,000, $15,000 more expensive than I want to pay
right.
for a plug-in hybrid.
Gotcha.
So it's a value criteria, too. It's not a car show, folks. And by the way, there's comments, patch.com comments for more than just the negative comment, because apparently there was an issue about tearing down tennis courts and basketball courts and then rebuilding them. But apparently the money came from, these are Ten Eyck tennis courts.
Yeah, they're right by my house, and I'm not pleased. They're not done yet either.
Right. Apparently it says, and someone says here, because somebody said it was done with county money. And they say, no, it's a total lie. It took five employees from the city an entire month working 8 hours a day. And said that was from our city money.
You know, they're not working 8 hours a day. I can tell you that. Okay. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. It's just that they leveled everything and they took everything out and they've not replaced it. And it's kind of.
But realize, folks, we have full-time city employees from many of these offices, and sometimes they don't have anything to do. I'm sorry, but sometimes they don't. There's no like emergency cleanup or whatever, but they're still full time.
You're right.
So maybe these are just people that okay, this is your job. And it'll take you, 3 months? But, you know, this is your we're signing to this project. We have to pay you anyway.
But
and this
not
is.
Doing it.
Oh,
I literally, I walk my dog around that block every single day. We were in Oklahoma for a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, I walk my dog around there every single day, and the progress is slow. Painfully slow, yes.
Wow.
The grass is growing faster.
Yeah. So that's, you know, and I don't know if we, certainly not on this show and even the city, I don't think that's a problem that is a microcosm that is representative of the big problems of Dearborn as a whole. You can criticize any little neighborhood or an event on your property or laud it. I saw like Dearborn workers were making another trip with several big trucks through my neighborhood, Springwells Park Association in east side of Dearborn, making the final pickup of leaves and branches.
Right. You know what? And I thank you for saying that. This is not Dennis saying the city's doing a terrible job. I'm just a huge tennis player and it's in my backyard. Yeah. So the longer they take, the more irked it gets me. But no, the grass is cut, it's maintained. The everything else about that entire area is beautifully kept. So I apologize.
That's a problem. They don't have tennis courts at the center, do they?
Yeah.
They do?
Wait. Oh.
No, the Ford Community Performing Arts Center has no tennis courts.
No, not indoors either. No, you're right.
Oh, indoors. I'd die for that.
Yeah.
You know, but they have to air condition a big area. But, you know, an indoor tennis court wouldn't cost the maintenance like an indoor pool.
Right.
You know, all that water, all that recycling, all those chemicals.
Just need a lot of space.
And all that, you need people to supervise so people don't drown, you know, easily.
You're right.
And you need, you know, and so, would die for an indoor tennis court. So is there an advisory questions about tennis courts? No, the tennis players haven't stood up for that, I guess.
No, you know what? We used to play at Edsel Ford, but now that they've redone those, we're not allowed to.
Well, even at Henry Ford Community College, because we needed more parking space, we had to dig under the tennis courts we had here.
You're right.
And at the time, we actually broke even on those courts and their maintenance. And
tell us by the baseball diamond, too.
In the evening, the Ford Motor Company employees, they had their own tennis players association. They got several associations, if they have any people still in them after all the layoffs. One was the Ford Motor Company Astronomy Club.
They're still up and running.
Another was the Ford Motor Company Tennis Players, and they came over and just used our courts, and it was reserved for them certain hours of the evening beyond class time. And or was it weekends? Well, in any event, they would, you know, and that was cool because they were helping the cost to maintain and keep them going. But apparently, we just had to have the extra parking space and the new master plan to prevent the runoffs and the ecological environmental damage. And so we had to dig them under.
It's beautiful, though. It looks great on there.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the new science building is going up on part of the space that was a parking lot, too. But because of the tennis court parking lots now and the rest of them, it's not a problem losing those extra.
Right.
It's only about an extra 30 spaces or something next to the science building. But the new science building would be fantastic. Should be done by mid-October. So the other DearbornPatch.com, and then we'll take a break here. Dennis and I had to take a break. We've got to get some fluids in our mouths so we don't start choking here.
That's right.
Local leaders, new state assistance limits will hurt Dearborn and Wayne County residents. Again, from dearborn.patch.com, a bill approved in the Michigan Senate last week would place stricter limits on cash subsidies for low-income families. But some say the measures are ill-advised in light of the state's high unemployment rate. Some of Dearborn's poorest residents are likely to feel more economic pain during the next several months after Michigan enacts some of the toughest cash assistance provisions in the country. The Republican-led Michigan Senate voting along party lines. So if you want to know who to blame, if you're poor here, but you're registered and you've got a chance to vote, you can't blame the Democrats. It was a Democrat-Republican vote. George DeRaney and all the other Democrats did not vote for this, which is going to hurt you. Did you vote Republican last time, folks? Those of you that are going to be hurt by this and the other several bills here, maybe you might want to change your affiliation, your party affiliation this November. Somehow, you know, if you can change the minds of the Republicans that are there that this is a bad idea, then maybe you should do that, too. Maybe you should write a letter or send an email, call them up. The bills are designed to save the state more than $70 million in welfare benefits. Under the legislation approved in the Senate and previously in the House, the clock would tick in most cases, regardless of the efforts made by recipients to become self-sustaining. About 6,000 cases could be exempted from the rule. I don't know what the criteria is. The bill would also prevent 19-year-olds living at home from receiving benefits, but increase the amount of money a family could earn and still collect benefits. That seems like a balance there. DeRaney, George DeRaney, who was on our show last Friday, you can listen to that podcast from our website, whfr.fm. Click on the journal button and click on July 15th. and you can hear that, but he said that the party line vote to cap benefits was ill-advised and could be detrimental to these residents who are struggling in the worst economic downturn in 50 years. So that was the 60s? I'm subtracting 50 from 2011, 61.
Really?
I don't think the 60s were that bad, but anyway. It said most states have a 60-month limit before you kick people off of welfare, he said. And given that we're in the economic situation we're in with high unemployment, this was poorly timed. So that limit now...
48, right?
Yep, 48 months. That's right. So clock is ticking, folks, and the services are being cut off. Just for the poor, services for the rich are not being...
And then, and from what I understand, the only exception is if somebody's caring for a handicapped spouse.
Yeah, they said there are some exemptions possible.
I think that's it, though. The other exemptions are no
check
longer.
Check with Wayne County Social Services to see how that might affect you specifically.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to take the break, but we're going to listen to several comments from the national commentator that we love to feature here, and that is Jim Hightower. And we'll be back with more live in the studio of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views.
Top executives of such corporate giants as American Airlines, IBM, General Mills, Lowe's, and McDonald's have a secret, and shh, they're lobbying in Congress to keep it from you and me. What they don't want us to know is that CEO pay is a whole lot more, mucho, mucho more, than the pay these same CEOs dole out to their typical worker. Oh, you knew that already? Of course, since corporate bosses have not exactly been shy about stuffing their pockets with multi-million-dollar paychecks, bonuses, and other loot, while knocking down the pay and benefits of workers. But what you don't know are the specifics of just how outrageous the income gap has become between the elites and the rest of us. A new provision in last year's financial reform law, however, requires major corporations to start reporting annually on this pay disparity. Having to reveal such a deliberate and dangerous level of inequality will be embarrassing to the corporate chiefs and infuriating to their downsized employees. Plus, it'll be considered immoral by many consumers, investors, and the general public. Hence, their rush to Congress. As usual, Republican lawmakers have greeted the poor rich executives with open arms, soothing their fevered brows with a hush-up bill to repeal the disclosure provision, letting the execs keep their dirty little secret from us. Representative Nan Hayworth, the GOP's point lady on this piece of plutocratic pampering, resorted to absurdity to rationalize the repeal, asserting that comparing paychecks would confuse investors. This is Jim Hightower saying, bovine excrement. Such savvy investors as the Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary have been leading the charge for paycheck comparisons. What's truly confusing is that Republican lawmakers are so willing to expose themselves so publicly as shameless corporate butt kissers.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Disclaimer: this show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students. The WHFR Monday Forum. An hour of a wide variety of one or more talk show programs from 6 to 7 p.m., some of which are locally produced.
Today turns into yesterday, leaving only words we say for this time.
New ideas and information, different each week, not available on other Detroit stations. That's why we're the station making waves. WHFR.fm. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to whfr@hfcc.edu.
The good times, the hard times, this time is our time.
The WHFR Monday Forum, 6 to 7 p.m. And also listen to all locally produced talk shows on WHFR Tuesday Forum from 1 to 2 p.m.
Economists and politicians keep their fingers on the pulse of the Dow Jones average, feeling every tick in this narrow measure of Wall Street wealth. But the truer indicator of America's economic health is in the Doug Jones average. How are workaday folks like Doug and Doreen doing? After all, the experts tell us that we're now entering the third year of glorious economic recovery from the Great Recession. So surely the bluebirds of happiness are chirping again in Dougland. But listen. Silence. The same moneyed elites who caused America's disastrous economic crash are now doing great. Since the recession ended in June 2009, CEO pay is back in the stratosphere. Corporate profits have jumped up by nearly half. Corporations are sitting on a record $2 trillion in cash, and that perky Dow Jones average has soared by a delirious 90%, with nearly all of that gain being pocketed by the wealthiest 10% of Americans who own more than 80% of all stocks and bonds. The sounds you hear up there are cheers, delighted giggling, and the pop, pop, pop of champagne corks. Yet, more than half of Americans say the recession is still raging in their zip codes, and nearly a third of them describe it as a full-blown depression. What's bugging these party poopers? Reality. In this recovery, those at the top of corporate America are still practicing tinkle-down economics. They're refusing to hire the Dougs and Doreens while eliminating hundreds of thousands of other jobs, knocking down wages and benefits, and unleashing their lobbyists on Washington and state capitals to shred unemployment benefits, health care, education, job training, worker rights, and other basics that are necessary to sustain America's middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, if a bluebird did show up in Doug and Doreen's yard these days, it would not be chirping, it'd be dinner.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Here we are. It's Jay Koronek and Dennis Reimar is here, the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. Hope you got a lot out of those messages from Jim Hightower. That's the state of the nation as he sees it. And you heard our disclaimer there, all pre-recorded by yours truly. And so I don't have to say it anymore live. See, I'm saving all that energy, energy-efficient times. I wanted to turn to a controversy that is brewing about an ad that was in the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Wednesday, 2 days ago, which has already gotten on a website blog that is overseen by Kathy Abdel-Haq. And Kathy was a candidate for Dearborn Heights City Council last time around, although Ned Apigian won that one-on-one battle with the voters. And but she now, I think she's going to run again because she set up this webpage that she calls Dearborn Heights Truth Page. Well, they responded quickly because there was an attack ad, a political ad, from a person who identified himself in the ad as Adam Adamski. And I'm certainly not going to read this over the air, but it was attacking Janet Badalow, indicated in the ad as J. period Badalow. She is a current Dearborn Heights City Council person, but she is trying to run in the primary to get, you know, one of the two top slots so that in November she might get elected to being Dearborn Heights City Clerk. Well, other than claiming, as anyone can do without any details, that she is not qualified for this job, Adam Adamski states several other issues about her, some of which, in my humble opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, are libelous. That means you can be sued for libel. When you make statements that are false,
right,
that hurts the reputation of someone else, you can be sued for that. Now, libel law in Michigan and in the many states is quite varied and complicated. It is not an easy thing to adjudicate a charge of libel, but being published in the paper, and in fact, there's usually some leeway for political ads and whether or not they're libelous because everybody throws, it seems like they sling mud, as you say,
right,
against candidates. They know that it can help them in their approach.
It is. Negative campaigning is by far more effective.
Just give one example, though. He claims that Jay Badalow, he claims that she's a Zionist, and what that means is a supporter of Israel. What that has to do about the city clerk's job, I don't know, but he said she is anti-Arab American. Muslim American, she's anti-Muslim American too, why not, and strongly supporting the invasion of Gaza by Israel in 2009. Now, I was against the invasion by Israel of the invasion of Gaza in 2009, and so was the Michigan Peace Team and a lot of other good people. Israel does not have a good record of so-called defending their own sovereignty. They're brutal and they're preemptive.
Sure.
Whether or not that's helping them or not, and whether or not the U.S. should support them, I think is an issue that you can decide on your own. Doesn't mean you're for a religion or against a religion. I'm talking about this. And so at least in being against the Israeli invasion of Gaza in 2009, Janet Badalow and I agree. Not that that means anything else about whether or not I support her for city clerk. But to say that because of that she's anti-Arab American, and therefore I think it's also anti-Muslim American, although it's written in a way that is she a Muslim American herself, Badalow? I don't know, but I just don't understand. In fact, most of the comments here don't make logical sense to me, even though they're all attacking. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it must be 10 or 12 in this ad. It's on page 7A of the Press and Guide, and in Kathy Abdelhak's Dearborn Heights Truth page blog, which I think is... I don't have that address. Just Google Dearborn Heights Truth page. There's also a link, by the way, at pressandguide.com. Mm-hmm. She does have her blog, just like Syed Deep. Is that his name?
Syed Deep, yes.
Syed Deep.
And his blog is Deep Said What?
Right. And that's linked on the pressandguide.com, too. So, but she points out yesterday that Adam Adamski is formerly known as Mario Fundarski.
But there's another name, too, isn't
there? He's changed his name several times.
Right.
But the time that we had him here on the Journal, he was running for some Dearborn office, or Dearborn Heights office, you know, because when we go through election times, we try to cover some of the candidates over there, too. And he did have some somewhat strange opinions, but he didn't wander as far afield as to talk about who was in favor or not of the invasion of Gaza, for example, which I don't think has anything to do with whether or not you're qualified as a candidate here in Dearborn Heights. But nonetheless, he's changed his name again, apparently, at least or he's covering up his name of Mario Fundarski. He has had so many strange events reported over the last 10 years. Apparently, he's run for office 13 times, one office or the other. In fact, he was running against Wayne County CEO, for Wayne County Commissioner, you know, the big guy. He was the Republican. He was the Republican candidate for Wayne County.
Right. Executive?
Executive.
Sure.
Not head commissioner. That's Gary Warrenchuk.
Right.
Didn't win, of course. But he's lived in 3 or 4 different countries. He was arrested.
McNamara? No.
For trying to bring... and it's a complicated story. I don't want to get it wrong, Mario, if you're listening. I just think it's a sad story. He invested a lot of his own money, and you can find the links from DearbornTruthPage.com a few years ago to try to get a bride from Russia.
Uh-huh.
And he came back with a woman who didn't have the right papers or visa or whatever.
Right.
He tried to smuggle her through Wayne County Metro Airport.
Boy, with a big suitcase.
He put her in a Red Wings pro U.S. jacket.
Didn't work.
Cut her hair and so on. Well, just when they were questioning her, you know, he was apparently even found the cheat cards. He was on the flight over. He was trying to give her all this information about the USA. You know, if they questioned her, and so on. And what stuck out was that when they asked her what, you know, area high school did she graduate from? She didn't know a U.S. high school.
right,
to answer. And so that's where they checked further. And so I don't know if he was sent to jail for that, but he was guilty of a felony for that one.
It was true love. I mean, you know.
He also threatened, I don't know if you remember this, there was some parade in which a Detroit Red Wing, who was injured in a car accident, mm-hmm. was going to be the Grand Marshal. Mm-hmm. You know, his recovery. He was recovering from...
Vladimir Konstantinov.
Exactly. Well, Mario felt he was a communist. He felt the Red Wings were a communist organization for hiring Russians. Mm-hmm. And he said at this parade, he was going to go out, he was going to stand in the street and protest, and he was going to shoot anybody that tried to move him.
Hmm.
Because he felt it was his... So he was threatening, like, everybody at the parade. So that got in the papers.
Right.
And it's just sad. I mean, he's got strong opinions. Like, they claim in Dearborn Heights that he's a racist because he had on the side of his house at one point, this was a few years ago, that he was against Israel.
Okay.
But he had also put 4 swastikas on that banner.
Right.
And they said, oh, he's pro-Nazi then. So we don't want him on our neighborhood. He's a hateful man.
You know,
hate language or a display of hatred by the demonstration. He said, well, it's not these swastikas aren't Nazi.
What kind are they?
Well, I looked at it, and technically they're not Nazi. He's right, because they are horizontal and vertical, even though sometimes Nazis write them that way. But the veins, there's veins on the edge of the cross, okay? They are pointing, if you will, counterclockwise, and that is what Hitler did to make it different than the sort of agricultural symbol that's been around since the early days of civilizations in India, which are counterclockwise veins. So Hitler did the veins counterclockwise, and he, in most cases, when you see what the Nazis, he turned it, he twisted it, so it was the cross was on the diagonal.
Sure.
Okay. So Mario was technically right, because he had the veins Nazi-like, but he had the cross horizontal and vertical.
But that's nitpicking, though,
yeah,
really.
And of course, Nazis hated Jews.
Right.
I don't know currently. I don't know any Nazis to ask them what they think of the Jewish people. But usually they're only in favor of the Aryan race, whatever that means, although Hitler wasn't Aryan, but he was the exception, right? He was their Führer.
But I got to have to ask you this.
Oh, poor Mario.
No, I have to ask you this. So he thought the Red Wings were, because they had Russians on the team, he claimed they were communists.
Well, supporting communists,
yeah. But he went all the way there to get a bride?
That's right.
How that's a little...
Yeah, he's got communist wife, or I don't know what happened.
Well, that's true love, though, right?
I don't understand. I just, and again, we talked to him briefly. I was worried about Mario's statement, but we try to give people free time.
Sure.
He stuck pretty much just to Dearborn Heights issues that related to, of course, that's what we asked him about. We didn't go far afield. But I feel so sorry, because I think he is either misguided or only semi-intelligent on these issues, in my opinion, and so don't sue me, Mario or Adam. I think you actually have been misunderstood by a lot of people. I think I'm saying something in his favor.
Okay.
But a lot of his statements, and especially in this ad, don't make sense.
They're easy to misunderstand.
And in fact, even on Patch.com or on the Dearborn Heights Truth page, people had commented on Kathy Abdel-Hawk's a basic statement about Mario and his background. She was just saying this guy is really the former Mario Fundarsky, and this is his background. And just read it for yourself. But so I don't. But then there's comments to her post on her page. And
are there people sticking up for him?
No. No one is sticking up for him. And they're suggesting that Janet Badalow actually sue him. But that would give him a day in court, a chance to grandstand, and it would cost her a lot of money.
Sure.
So,
and it is a crapshoot, you know? I mean, you really don't know.
Kathy Abdel-Hawk said, who put up the money for this? That ad, I think, probably cost $300 or so. It is it's a quarter page ad?
That's a quarter page, exactly. I mean, it's just under a quarter page. And that is, that's an expensive ad.
And he has claimed to be indigent or without money. So somebody, they feel, put up the money for this, so maybe they should find out and blame that person. Because he apparently has been at the senior centers taking free meals a lot in Dearborn Heights.
Huh.
According to undocumented evidence on
unconfirmed,
these. Unconfirmed, who knows. But the question was raised, where did the money come from? This is not a cheap ad to take out. And it's just, I wouldn't say it's scandalous, but it's got a lot of things totally wrong, and a lot of things here, maybe they're libelous, but a lot of things don't seem to relate at all to the job of city clerk.
No, it's almost
name-calling. Which is what Janet Badalow wants.
You know, it's almost like trying to be name-calling.
Well, mudslinging, is not necessarily libelous, you know. So,
right.
He's claiming she's a staunch feminist. She refuses to use her maiden name.
But some of the, okay, just,
oh my God.
Some of these are leaps. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the one, like you said, it doesn't have to relate to the other.
I'm all in favor of freedom of speech. I'm just saying it's a crazy ad. When I saw it, I circled it. I should not have even maybe given any attention to it, except it seems to be something that now is caught on the internet,
right.
Locally. And I think, you know, I feel sorry for the guy because I think he is misinformed and only semi-intelligent on some of these issues, but he deserves the chance to have his opinion. And if he has overstepped here, I think Badalow ought to get a lawyer and sue him for this.
Protect yourself.
Of course, if he has no money, the civil court won't put him in jail. They'll just try to take what money he has left, and he has no money.
But sometimes it's not about the money. It's about her clearing her name. And if she feels she has to, then those are the proper steps.
She gets a judgment in court.
Right. I mean, then she's
vindicated or whatever.
She can counter with that kind of a
Of course, name. That won't happen before the August primary, which is August 2nd.
Right.
And that's coming up in less than 2 weeks. It's a week from next.
Wow, time's
flying. From next Tuesday. And so she's got no chance to get, quote unquote, vindicated in court before then.
Wait,
so.
When's homecoming? The 5th?
The 5th. It's 2 weeks from today, Janice.
No kidding.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting the show live from.
2 weeks
Ford
from
Field.
Me. That's going to be fun.
Yep.
I will.
Yep.
Okay.
Get your sunscreen ready.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, well, we have 6 minutes before Highway 61 begins here on the new WHFR Journal, WHFR.fm, the station making waves. The other big issue that is going viral is about the two, and we've covered the story before, that District Court Judge Summers has lost now two rulings in the court against him for displacing or firing employees from the district court, and two juries have found against him, saying he did it wrongly for one reason or another, or several reasons, and the judgments are now more than $1.5 million. I wanted to read the letter to the editor written by, I thought it was a very intelligent letter, Jim Campbell, to the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday.
All right.
Got to dig it out here, though. There it is. Okay. Because he sums it up pretty well, and I thought he was really on both sides of this issue. I raised the question of, like, who's going to have to pay that money? I bet it's the taxpayer somewhere, but is it Wayne County or whatever? And he says, to the editor, and this is Jim Campbell from Dearborn, a recent Dearborn Heights Press and Guide talked about blah, 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 and all the money and all the damages. By the way, the winning attorney in one case, is going to get more than $500,000 himself because he was taking it on contingency.
Sure.
So he wasn't going to charge him anything unless he won. But he's getting a huge amount, almost one-third of the winnings, if you want to call it that, from the jury verdict. And the jury knew it. But he had put in, he claimed, 1,200 hours.
1,222.5 billable hours.
Yeah, but who's counting the details there?
$400.
But he's charging $400 an hour. That's what I guess high-priced legal fees are going up to now, especially if you win. Especially if you win, why not charge whatever you think you might get? $400 an hour for 1,200 hours of background on and support for this case. So here's what... this person says, Jim Campbell, does anyone think about the size of these awards anymore? Who is being penalized here by the punitive damages? If, in your entire working life, you watch your money, you would be fortunate to accumulate a pension worth this much. This is more like winning the lottery than correcting an injustice. So he obviously feels that this jury award was way, way too large for the situation. He says correcting the injustice here would be to determine if the plaintiff deserved the promotion she was denied, and if so, then giving it to her, that the court could demand that she get the job back. I don't know if the court really can do that if the city says we don't need that job.
Plus, that's very uncomfortable for everybody involved.
In fact, something like that happened here at Henry Ford Community College, and it was many, many, many years ago, but a job was said by the administration at the end of a year to be unnecessary.
Okay.
So they discontinued the job. Well, in effect, they fired that person, right? Right. Went to court. The person, person's union took it to court, and the union said, no, I don't know what the reason, no due process or whatever. That person now is full-time again at Henry Ford Community College, but in a different job that he was qualified for, though.
Okay.
Not the job that was discontinued. So the court ruling in that case could not recreate that position that the college said isn't necessary anymore, but they said something that you've got to find a place for this person, and I don't know what the reasons were, whether it was seniority or blah, 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 if they qualify for anything else. So does, and then we're talking about Julie Pucci here, does she qualify for anything else at the district court or in the city of Dearborn? In any event, that wasn't something that the court felt they could do, and maybe Julie Pucci didn't even want it. She didn't want to come back anywhere, but maybe the court, instead of saying, well, it's either $700,000 to her or nothing, reinstate her, you know? But that, so Jen Campbell's raising a very good point. Wouldn't it be fairer and fairer to Dearborn and Wayne County taxpayers to just give her job back? Or give her the job that she thought she deserved, which is sort of the head of that team over there.
Yeah.
So you could argue that the system is not set up to make such an award, but that still does not justify the size of the award. And as he points out, a pension bigger than most of us could ever hope for. You know, but then there's, ooh, punitive damages. That means like, ooh, your mental health is being injured. Your image is being hurt.
Did you see the breakdown of the money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, don't have time to go through that, but right. So he says punitive damages, punitive against whom? Certainly not against Judge Summers. He will not be paying the bill. I suspect that after these judgments, he will not run for office again and he will return to private practice. And that's a couple years away, though. The experience on the bench, the judgments notwithstanding, should only help him in private practice because, you know, former district judge. So he knows the court system, right? So he'll probably get a lot of private practice cases. He says, no, these punitive judgments will be paid by the taxpayers. I know the argument is that Judge Summers represented the taxpayers, and so we should pay. That is just way too indirect for me to accept. Oh, and if the concept of punitive is to punish, then why does the money go to the winning side? Why not go to a charity? Oh, that's an interesting point. And then Campbell concludes, so as police and firemen are let go, and as pools and libraries close, can't forget them, they always keep popping up here, don't they? Just keep in mind that local juries are a part of the problem. The idea of big awards from deep pockets never was fair, even when pockets were deeper. There is no free lunch, he says.
Can I read these just the last two sentences? Yeah. And this is from the article from the Press and Guide about this very subject. It says, still pending is Sharon Langan's lawsuit against Summers.
Right, Langan, one more to go.
A court clerk filed a suit that bears several similarities to Pucci, and her Pucci's attorney, Sklar, also represents Langdon. Mm-hmm. Also, the Michigan Attorney General's office is providing defense counsel for Summers, and irrespective of the verdicts, the cost for those services won't be incurred by the city. Boom. So at least Summers' defense we won't pay for.
Is irrespective a real word? I know irregardless is not.
It's not.
Okay. Here's something coming up. Well, there's two things coming up, and it is 2 o'clock. I need to say it's Dearborn, WHFR Dearborn, and we're waiting for Highway 61 to get started. Just covering a couple minutes. Our podcast, I know, goes, it's now 2:01. Our podcast go to 2:02. Just here's two more stories, and we'll conclude. Joanne has arrived at the station. It's like Elvis has entered, you know.
Here she is.
Yes. And so we'll be closing just a second here. Big time in September for the automakers here in Detroit area. In the New York Times just yesterday, they happened to bring up the fact that mid-September, the last union contracts with the big four or big three will be up for renewal. And will there be a strike or not? Will it be Ford or not? Chrysler, you know, is no longer part of the government.